I want to say good evening or good afternoon. I am so thankful to be here today. I am looking forward to this topic and to discussing it with you. I want to publicly thank my daughter, Brianna, who is here. She came. She lives in San Antonio and rushed over here after work to hear her mother talk to her again. So I am truly, truly blessed. And I want us to discuss this subject of growth through adversity stemming from the book of Job and the examples of his life that he affords us. As my usual, if any of you are familiar with me when I do speak, I like to begin with defining terms. It is very important to me that we all be on the same page with understanding of what we are talking about. So I'm not going to assume that you know these definitions. I'm going to give you clear definitions. When I say them, you will know exactly what I am referring to. I want to start with the definition of the word growth. Growth. Growth is defined as a stage in the process of growing. It comes from the root word to grow, which is a verb meaning to undergo natural development by increasing in the progress toward maturity. In other words, growth is just a stage in the process of increasing. It is not the final result itself, but it is the result of arriving to the final result. I want to define the word through. Through is defined as a moving in one side and out of the other side of a channel or location. Notice this word is not stationary. It is not still. It is not motionless. It is instead moving. I want to define adversity. It is simply defined as difficulties or misfortune. Difficulties or misfortune. Putting these definitions together, ladies, growth through adversity is a stage in the process of undergoing the natural development of increasing in the progress toward maturity, moving in one side of difficulties and misfortune and coming out on the other side. The book of Job is a well-known historical account of a blameless man, whose reaction, response, and resilience through coming out on the other side of the difficulties and misfortune of his life. So much can be learned and gained from Job's example of patience, endurance, and faithfulness he displayed through his trials. Yet, ladies, I'm going to ask you to engage your minds with me. Please follow along with me on my line of reasoning, because it is important for us as Christian women to be able to ask ourselves in practical terms, how can we grow through adversities? How can we grow through our personal difficulties and misfortunes of life? As we keep in mind, this in mind, I want us to consider three ways that we can practically grow through adversity. Three ways. Now, there is more, but these are my three ways, okay? So some of these ways may be obvious in understanding, but difficult in consistent practice. Others may just surprise you. So to explain these three ways, I want to use the word hub. Hub. H-U-B. One of the definitions of the word hub is the effective center of an activity. The effective center of an activity. If we look at this, I want us to see the effective center of growing through adversity. And I'm going to use the acronym for the word hub. The H stands for humility. Humility. The biblical definition of humility is not foreign to many of us. A very familiar passage is James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. In the Greek, humble means to depress. Figuratively, it means to humiliate in condition and in heart. I want to repeat that. It means to humiliate in condition and in heart, to abase, to bring low. Turn with me to Job chapter 14 and verse 14. In Job chapter 14 and verse 14, Job asks a rhetorical question, and then he makes a statement that serves as evidence for his patience. Listen to Job. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. We notice that at the beginning of Job's response to his critics, he possessed patience. He possessed a willingness to wait on the Lord. But with this patience, ladies, through his adversity, he grew in humility. He grew in humility. Listen to Job's response when questioned by God. Job's response when questioned by God was, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job chapter 40, verses 3-5. Job chapter 40, verses 3-5. Job, before God, was humbled. He was figuratively humiliated in condition and in heart. Ladies, as we consider humility as a necessity or necessary for growth through adversity, please allow me for a few minutes to make a strong case for this vital characteristic. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. The Bible there reads, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5-8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Follow me, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And I want us to just read verse 5 just to establish the fact that we are talking about the Christ in this context. I want to establish the fact we are referring to Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 5 says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now drop down to verse number 8. Drop down to verse number 8. Verse 8 says, though he was a son, a begotten son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Please don't lose me. Follow my line of reasoning. Okay, let me share something with you that I learned when studying or preparing for this lesson. In the Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 passage, where he says, in being found as appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. One of the Greek definitions for that word became obedient, is grow. Is grow. He grew in obedience to the point of death. Now, we all know Christ was always obedient, but his obedience grew to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Just as Christ increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, as stated in Luke chapter 2, verses 52, he grew in obedience. Christ, our example, because of his consciousness toward God, endured grief and suffered wrongfully. What sin could we hold to Christ's charge? Name one fault that was worthy of the beating he endured on the cross. Give me one example of an error that was worthy of the cross for our Savior Christ. You can give me none. There is none. Yet the Bible said he endured the cross. Ladies, he humbled himself. He took the suffering patiently. And you know why he did it? He did it for you and he did it for me. The question is, are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to depress ourselves? Are we willing to humiliate ourselves in condition and in heart to endure the sufferings of this life patiently, which is commendable before God? Ladies, trials, tribulations, sufferings, and adversities should cause growth. We, like Job and like Christ, should learn obedience through the things in which we suffer. We should grow in our humility. The U in the word hub stands for undergird. Yeah, I said it. Undergird. Now, to give you an understanding of this word undergird, I need us to go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. You may remember the Apostle Paul when he appealed to Caesar and they set sail to Rome. And while they were setting sail to Rome, they ran into what the King James Version refers to as tempestuous wind. When we get to verse 15 in Acts chapter 27, the Bible says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which was called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. That word undergirding in the Greek means to bind a ship together, to enable it to survive the force of waves and tempest. The root word of undergird is gird, to gird. This Greek word simply means to bind about with a belt, as in Acts chapter 12 and verse 8. But stay with me here, because I want us to see also additionally where this word goes, and it will make sense when we get to its necessity for growth through adversity. It literally means, well, I want us to notice the Hebrew definition. So let's notice the Hebrew definition for this word. The Hebrew definition literally means to put on as a belt or as on armor, to restrain on every side. Turn with me to a very familiar passage to many of us in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And let's look at what the Bible says and how it uses this word gird when referring to the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31, verse number 17, it says, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She girds herself. She puts on like a belt. She puts on like a armor strength, and she strengthens her arms. This woman, this virtuous woman, is a woman who is able to put on strength like a belt or like an armor and prepares herself for battle. She restrains herself on every side. Ladies, if a ship, if a boat, if a tangible vessel needs helps or cables fastened to it to survive the force of winds and waves and the tempest, how much more do we need to undergird, to fasten ourselves with strength and to strengthen our arms for adversity? In Job chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Job chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. This is Job's words. He says, what strength do I have that I should hope? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh bronze? Is my help not within me, and is success driven from me? Job questioned his strength to endure the adversities he was facing. We at times may question our strength during the most difficult times of our lives. We too may question our ability to be able to endure the winds and the waves of our life. But my sisters and my friends, this is why undergirding is so important to the growth, our growth through adversity. When we undergird our hearts with the helps or the cables, if you will, of God's word, we gird ourselves with strength and we strengthen our arms. The idea of undergirding is the same as an anchor. The same as an anchor. Remember what the Hebrew writer would say about the anchor in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, talking about the hope of God's promises, he says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We have an anchor that keeps our soul fastened to the rock of our salvation. Every trial, every tribulation, every difficulty we overcome should undergird our hearts more and more, strengthened in the knowledge that it is impossible for God to lie. When God makes a promise, it is true, it is sure. And if he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, how dare we not believe him? How dare we not undergird ourselves with the strength of his promise? We can know for certain that God is able to fulfill what he says he will fulfill. He is able to deliver. The B in the word hub. The B. It stands for belief. It stands for belief. Now, before you assume the obvious about the word belief, please give me your attention. Because of all three of these, of all these ways, I truly believe that this one is the most important. This is the most important if we're going to grow through adversity. The very first appearance of the English word believe in the King James Version is found in Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, when Moses answered God and he said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared to you." The Lord provided Moses with a miracle so that Moses could put forth that miracle before the people as evidence for them to believe God did appear to him. Believe in the Hebrew means to go to the right hand. It properly means to build up or support, to foster as a parent or nurse. Figuratively, to render, to be firm or faithful, to trust, morally, to be true or certain. It is assurance. And I could go on and on. If you ever did a study of the word Hebrew, when you look up that word in the Hebrew or the Greek language, it keeps going. It is so full of information, of descriptions of this word. Now look with me at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And I want us to read a very practical example of this word. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Listen to this discord between Jesus and the two blind men. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." In the Greek, believe means to have faith. For example, to credit, by implication, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. If you are taking notes, write that down. If you want to put your name there, ask yourself, Evelyn, do you entrust Christ with your spiritual well-being? Do I trust and entrust Christ with my spiritual well-being? Jesus asked the blind, "Do you have faith? Do you entrust? Do you credit me as able to heal you of your blindness?" Now, I have often given the example of belief and trust as in a gurney or a stretcher. A gurney or a stretcher, the one who needs to be placed on it has to completely trust that that gurney or that stretcher has the ability to 100% hold the full weight of their body on it without them falling, without them tripping, or without it breaking. That complete trust in that gurney, in that stretcher, means you have no doubt. You are unwavering in putting and laying your full body weight on that stretcher. Typically, the person who needs to be put on a stretcher is somehow injured or hurt or otherwise incapacitated. But what is my point? My point is that if you don't believe, if you are not 100% sure, if you doubt in any way, you will probably be fighting and screaming and questioning all the way. You will never trust. There will always be something wrong. There will always be somebody at fault. There will always be a reason it shouldn't be this way. Why? Because you doubt the ability for it to hold you up or for you to be sustained. Ladies, it would be no different on a spiritual level. It would be no different if we were spiritually in a difficult situation, in a misfortune, and we did not believe God. We would be fighting the entire way. We would be complaining the entire way. We would be upset and frustrated and confused and angry at the world and angry at God. Why? Because we do not fully, completely, 100% trust that He's got us, that He supports us, that He is the stretcher or the gurney that is able to sustain us even through the most difficult of time. Listen to God's description of Job for me. It serves as an example of his faithfulness, of his trust, and his belief in God. Job said in Job chapter 1 verse 8, the Lord said of Job unto Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" Job's character is blameless or perfect. It is righteous or upright. He is one who fears God and shuns evil. Ladies, so much more goes in to this idea of belief. Our actions, our character, the very description of who we are is going to determine whether we believe or not. Our character, the very description of who we are, is going to determine whether we believe or not. Job could not have been righteous without belief. Job could not have feared God without belief. Job could not have shunned evil without belief. The question that we have to ask, will any of us suffer any more than Job? Has any of the sufferings that we have endured in our life up until this point been any greater or even equal to that in which Job had endured? Will any of us endure greater suffering than Christ? The cross that we bear, is it greater than the cross that our Lord and Savior bore? Honestly, I had to ask my question in the darkest times of my life. It still was not greater than the suffering of my Savior. And He did it for me. He did it so that I can endure through the situation that I was dealing with. Can we not look at the end of both of these individuals? Can we not look at the end of Job and it be enough for us to believe? Can we not look at the end of Christ after his suffering and it be not enough for us to believe? Job was blessed with more than what he had in the beginning. Christ, our Savior, after the cross, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and of the things on the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Question, ladies. Do we believe? Do we believe God? Do we believe he is able? Do we believe he is the creator of all things? Yes. And I say yes. Then let's humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Do we believe he is the almighty, powerful God? Yes. Then if we do, then we can undergird ourselves with the strength of his word and stand through the waves and the tempests of life. Do we believe that he is able to lift the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and to make straight the paths of our feet? Do we believe? Yes. Therefore, be not faithless like Thomas, but believing. This is a worthy saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Ladies, do we believe? Do we believe? When we truly believe with everything that is in us, when we truly believe God and his promises, when we truly believe that it is impossible for him to lie, when we believe his word, and we believe in the power of his salvation, we can't help but grow through adversity. Can't help it. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Do we believe? Do we believe? Ladies, I am persuaded. I believe Job was persuaded. The question is, are you persuaded? The trials and the tribulations and the adversities of my life, I can't speak for yours, but I can speak for mine, and they have been many, have made me better, not bitter. They have made me wiser, not foolish. They have made me stronger, not weaker. And I can tell you it is because I have been humiliated in condition and in heart. And I can tell you it is because I have undergirded myself and clung as close as I possibly can to the strength of God's word that I was able to overcome it. And it is because I believed God that the trials and tribulations of my life produced growth in me and in all those that I could possibly come in contact with. As I close, Job's life has been written for us as an example of growth through adversity for the benefit of us all. The heart of the Christian woman must consider the wisdom and the example Job provides. And I say the Christian women, mainly because I'm talking to only women, but because we are mothers. We are sisters. We are daughters. We are nurturers. It is our responsibility to nurture that child up to know that God is their creator and to trust him. It is our responsibility to understand that we've got to gird our arms with strength as an example to those who see us in the world. It is our responsibility to not let the adversities of life, the difficulties of life, turn us away from God, but draw us closer to him. Job's growth from patience to humility should be an example to us. Job's endurance to undergird his heart should be an example to us. Job's faithfulness to believe in God should serve as an example to us. Job's example empowers the Christian women with evidence of God's presence during the storms of life. God has never left me alone, never left me out there by myself. I've never been without the help and the comfort of my Savior, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how dark the night. I was never alone. And you are never alone either. Ladies, God is present during every faithful Christian woman's mountaintop climb and the journey through the valley. I pray we have learned something about the hub, about the effective center of growing through adversity that will help us to continue to grow. My trials and tribulations have not ended just because I'm older and wiser. My difficulties of life are not over. As long as I am alive and in this body, I will continue to be faced with adversities, difficulties, struggles. The question is, what will be my outcome on the other side of it? Will it be growth? Or will it be weakness? Will it be strength? Will it be endurance? What will it be? What will God say toward you if Satan comes to present himself before the Lord? Will he say, Evelyn, have you considered my servant Evelyn? Or will he say, you know what? Y'all better leave her alone because she is not going to make it. Which one is it going to be? If we take this humility and this undergirding with strength and this belief, and we run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. And what was set before him was the cross. And the Bible says that it was joy for him to endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Lastly, Job is not just a character we read about in the Bible. Job is a soul, a husband, a father, and a man who devoted his life to pleasing God, not because of the blessings that he had, but because of his patience, his endurance, and his faithfulness to God. We too are souls. We're sisters. We're wives, some of us. We're mothers. We're friends. Let us devote our lives to pleasing God. Not because of the blessings, but because of our patience, our endurance, and our faithfulness to God. During the good and during the adversities of life, we can grow. Ladies, not only can we grow, we need to grow. Look at the world around us. How many of us do not deal with the starch effects of sin in the world? It increases the adversities of life. It makes harder those issues. It makes hard to even live right. Ladies, how many of you are find it difficult to live right? I just want to live right. I just want to be true. I just want to be faithful. I want to be honest. I want to be just. That's all I want to do. And the world condemns you. The world shames you. The world rebukes you. It puts you in this position of fear and hostility. And yet, we must endure. We must grow. We must show the world that with all their efforts, they will not win. We will stand strong because God is with us. We can stand strong because God is with us. I hope and pray that I have encouraged you today. Job is an example of just one man that was able to endure the trials of life. I pray that each one of us be those examples just as Job was. I may not be an example to the people that are in your circle of life. I may not be an example to the people you live around or the people that you come in contact with every day, but you can. And if you ever find yourself struggling, ready to give up, wanting to throw in the towel, not feeling that you can endure, not feeling that you can make it, you have a family in God. Christ endured that cross so we can have the church. This is a part of our hope. You and I helping each other, encouraging one another, showing each other that we can do it. We can make it. God is on our side. He is with us. Stand firm, stand strong. Do not give in. Do not give out. Because we have a hope, an inheritance waiting for us, eternal in the heavens. And I pray, dear, that you and I can continue until the day of our death and hang in there and grow through adversity. God bless you and thank you.